Hallelujah. You know, go to Psalm 23. Praise be to my Father. Psalm 23. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? In verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Stop. The Lord is my shepherd, I still shall not want. That want is a representation of what?
Lack.
In other words, you won't lack. Now, there's a lot of want. Hello?
Amen.
We get a lot of want. Many of us want this, want that, whatever. And there's nothing wrong with a desire to want more things of God and whatever, but don't move ahead. I mean, you could become goofy. Amen? Now, there's a time that God deals with us and he does divine delays. But if people are not willing to stay in that arena of waiting on God and begin to move out of that place, they get frustrated and all kinds of things begin to happen. They begin to associate with familiar spirits and they begin to get goofy. They begin to get troublesome. They can't receive correction. All kinds of things begin to happen. See, you'll know a spirit by its fruit, won't you? If you have a hard time in submitting, there's a problem, right? Now understand this. This is what God is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. In other words, you're truly trusting in Him for everything. Now you can say it all day you want. Man, I trust God. But when the circumstance or trial comes, that's when you'll know you trust Him or not. Amen? And that's when we start going, man, I want and I don't understand this. Right? So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to wait on God because I know He is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. He won't forsake me. You know, let me share something with you. People want to hear from God so badly sometimes, just like Saul. You know, Saul wanted to hear from God so badly, he went to see a soothsayer. And he ended up talking to demonic activity and got in even more trouble than what he was already in. Amen? You know, God is not a fortune teller. Has everybody got it? He's not a fortune teller. He's not going to tell you everything or else you wouldn't need faith. I get so many people, God told me this, God told me that. Well, man, is the Lord really your shepherd? He's not going to tell you every single thing or you wouldn't need faith, would you? Amen. Now we know that faith comes by hearing, but hearing the Word of God. This is where everything He's telling us. Right? Now we'll get confirmation in certain things. And you got to be careful because even the devil knows how to give confirmation. That's why God puts you in the waiting room, doesn't He? He makes you wait. But if you move out of the waiting room, the first door you go to is in the hands of the devil. God's got a reason why we're talking like this. Hello? Is everybody with me?
Amen.
You all right? Remember the three processes of God's will for me and you. The first part is His waiting room, His pruning room, and His refining room. Amen? Well, listen, if you can't hang out in the waiting room, what makes you think you're going to get in the pruning room? You won't. You must. Only He can bring you. In fact, in the tabernacle, only God can bring them from one place to the other. Amen? If you went ahead in the tabernacle without doing a certain ritual, man, you died. You got thrown out or died. That's why they used to tie a rope around the ankle of the priest that used to go in once a year. You hear a ding, ring-a-ding-ding, and he'd go over. Boom, and they pull him out. Next. You know, if he made a mistake, right? I mean, there was no playing around when you were in God's presence like that, right? Now, we understand that one of the things that the devil and the powers of darkness want to do is breach the love of God. Not towards us, but our love towards Him. He always wants to bring a division there. He always wants to convince me and you that God doesn't love us, or this and that. How many times have you wanted to say, Lord, how can you allow this to happen to me? I don't care where you are in your walk, there's times when you're going to think that. Hello? You know, I don't care if you're the greatest evangelist or whatever. There's going to be times when you're going to go, Lord, even Jesus said it on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me, right? Amen. So what makes you think that you're not going to say that occasionally? Hello? Better be very occasionally. Or very. Hello? So, in that time of distress, in that time of circumstance or trial, what the devil and the powers of darkness want to do is they want to try to breach the love that God has for me and you. So that we go out and he tries to convince us, man, why don't you work more? Why don't you do this more? What happens is we begin to seek fulfillment in other areas that we can't even get fulfilled on. And we get more frustrated, right? And we even begin to try to take more time with our family and all kinds of other things. And we're still miserable because the only thing that can free us and release us from this miserable arena is his presence and his love. Amen? That's the only thing that can really free us, right? So in that area, what happens to us as children of the Most High God, we begin to get chastised. We begin to get corrected. So many people think chastisement is a beat me up or punish me. No, it's a part of correction. See, your circumstance is a good opportunity to make a change in your life. That's why I want to talk about God's tough love. Because there is a tough love. Tough love. Hello? There is a tough love of God. Listen, he is not going to give you every little thing you need. Sometimes he's going to make you work for it. He's going to make you earn it. And sometimes when you don't even earn it, he's going to bless you. Nobody in this room and nobody who's ever lived is going to know exactly how God's going to operate. Because he changes. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but he can change with me and you as for how he's going to move. Because he knows. Remember, our circumstances, our trials, and our tribulations is a great opportunity for me and you to make a change in our life instead of run from it. Has everybody got it? Listen, it says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of all of them. Right? Now, if we don't take those opportunities, they'll come back again. Do you understand that? They come back. So, what is love? God's love never ceases towards us, does it? Never. No matter what you've done, no matter what you could do, it's never going to stop. But the devil always wants to get you into a place where you think you've got to earn God's love. And then he tries to convince you that you haven't. Hello. Yeah, everyone's been through it. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. I've got a latest foundation before we can go any further. 1 Corinthians 13. In verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Me. Is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Do you understand that? It's not provoked to do something. Doesn't get angry for overcorrection. Is willing to submit to all things. Thank God God's love for me and you is long-suffering. I sometimes ask the Lord, man, how do you put up with me? But he loves me. Thinks no evil. In other words, isn't going to retaliate. Doesn't mean you won't be tempted by it, but you won't do it. Does not rejoice in someone else's iniquity. Look at... He did it. Oh, I told you he was going to do that. You know, the only time when somebody rejects counsel and I know what's going to happen, believe me, there's sometimes I'd like to say, look, man, I told you so. You know? But I don't have to. Because the Holy Spirit already said, I told you so. Rejoices in the truth. Does not rejoice... Bears all things. Is willing to bear all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. And endures all things. Amen? Love never what? Fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And that is not now. Well, it's when Christ returns. So love. One of the things that the devil wants to do is breach love. But let me share something with you. God does have a tough love. You know, we've all heard that, tough love. You know, in other words, we get calls from families that their sons or daughters are out using this and that, and they've been taking them in and doing this, and they're saying, but I can't just reject them. I love them. I said, man, it's called tough love. You know? You've got to, because you're just promoting sin, and you're actually assisting an individual in death. And it's the wrong type of death. Right? Go to Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Everybody all right?
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I will not grumble and complain when I don't get things I want.
Yeah, but you give it to him or her. Why not me?
Because you're in the waiting room.
Amen.
You may have been promoted to the pruning room. You don't even know it. In verse 7 it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. So there's something that you have to do first, right? You got to what? Ask, seek, right? And knock. Or what man is there among you who if his sons ask for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Does everybody see that? You know, the Bible says that he does exceedingly abundantly, far above all we could ever ask or think. I love when him thoughts manifest. You just get a glimpse of a thought, and next thing you know, it comes to pass. It's like, man, cool. Thanks, Lord. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is like a conclusion here. He's saying, listen, you're asking, you're knocking, you're seeking, and so forth. If you want certain things, I want to remind you that, you know, forgiveness is important, right? But he's saying, look it, whatever you want done to you, hello? You better do unto men. See, the problem is, before any decision is done here, even before any correction that comes through this office, I always have to put myself in that position. Even when someone's removed from here, I have to put myself in that position. Do unto those as you want them to do unto you. If I deserve to be removed, I have to put myself in that position. If I deserve to be chastened, corrected, rebuked, I put myself in that position and what I'm about to do to someone else. Does everybody understand that? And that's where you and I need to be. Because there better be a good reason behind it. If it's out of your selfishness and out of promotion and puff up for yourself, then it's wrong motive. And that's where God checks us out as. And let me tell you, that will be the number one open door that He'll bring His tough love to me and you. Chastening is a representation of His tough love. In verse 13, would you read it with me? Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it difficult, tough love. Does everybody understand that? That's a representation of tough, God's tough love. Listen, the Bible says that we fight against powers of darkness, not against one another, right? Most of our time, our struggle is with the Holy Spirit because we're resisting His counsel, correction, and direction. Does everybody understand that? And when we resist Him, we open the door to demonic activity in our life. Then we're really struggling and fighting. So do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Difficult is the way of life. What are these difficult ways? They are trials, disappointments, tribulations, discouragements, unfulfilled expectations, unruly desires, afflictions. God is looking at what will you do and how will you handle them. Amen. He's saying, will you do unto others as you'd want them to do unto you? And how do we enter some of these things? How do we enter some of these trials and tribulations? You know? Go to Galatians chapter 5. How do we enter God's tough love, chastisement? Well, we know disobedience is the number one thing, right? Then we got to ask ourselves, why is He chastening us? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, is everybody there? It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You started off good. Submitting, resisting the devil, doing it right. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who hindered you from receiving the correction of the Lord? Who hindered you? This persuasion does not come from Him who calls you. Well then, hello. It's coming from some other persuasion. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. Now what does leaven represent? Evil. Everybody see that? I have confidence in you in the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So this persuasion is of a demonic forces. What it causes is compromise, allowing opportunities to fulfill the flesh. So everybody got it? It promotes flesh, causing backbiting, grumbling, anger, division, disobedience, nullifying the love of Christ, and resulting in chastening from God. You want me to repeat that? Okay. The persuasion is of demonic forces. They come to cause compromise, allowing opportunities to fulfill the flesh. It promotes the flesh to cause backbiting, grumbling, anger, division, disobedience, etc. And it nullifies the love of Christ and promotes or results in the chastening from God. The end result is chastening from God. And what is chastening from God? Tough love. Somebody got it? You know, we need to stop this thing, oh man, God hates me. You know, we need to stop this, oh, that's it, I can't take it, God's always chastening me. Man, sometimes he's doing that tough love. Again, he's not going to tell you every single little thing, is he? There are things that are expected of us, aren't they? Right? You're not going to go to a red light and pray whether you're supposed to stop. It's too late. Go to Hebrews 12. See, that's why you do that in the morning. Hello? You pray in the morning. And he's with you all day, isn't he? Now, of course, you got to listen to certain things he may be telling you to rescue your butt from something, right? I wouldn't want to be under a building that's going to collapse and the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, you better move. But let me tell you, when God wants to talk to you, he gets your attention. You don't have to search. He gets your attention. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He's given us an example. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. Read this with me. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or the tough love of God. Amen. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Ooh. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Everyone who calls him is going to get it. You're not going to always get a Gucci Gucci Goo. Hello? If you endure chastening, if you endure the tough love, if you're willing to receive the correction, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. In other words, you know what happens? People run from the chastening of God. And the reason why he's correcting us is because he wants to get us to the promised land where his promises are. That's all. He wants to get us in position. So he's trying to correct us. He chastens us. He gives us tough love. He doesn't give us the things that we want all the time. And then what he does is he begins to expose us to ourselves. And if you're not willing to accept the exposure of God Almighty, and the purpose he's doing that is because he's revealing our hidden issues, and they are called hidden because we don't know about it until they get triggered. And when those issues come up, so many people run from them. You know why so many people leave the discipleship house? Because of issues. They give up. That's it. I'm not taking this any longer. Actually, what they might as well just say is, I don't want to see my garbage anymore. I'll just take it with me. In verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. Does everybody understand that? So this chastening is going to train you. Your circumstances and trials and tribulations are an opportunity for a change in your life. You'll either get that change, hello, or you'll associate with that demon that's associated with that part that needs to be changed. Does everybody understand that?
Yep.
If you don't think that the devil and the powers of darkness don't see what God is doing, then you're blinded. And they're going to always resist what God is trying to do in your life. They're going to always promote the run. Always. Because they're always going to promote the worldly desire. The number one worldly desire is me. What about me? See, we just lost sight that the Lord is our shepherd. We won't lack. Hallelujah. And let me share something with you which is important. Chastening is God's tough love. Let me share. This is very important. He does not promote the will of man. And he never interrupts himself. He does not promote the will of man. That's why he puts us in the waiting room, the pruning room, and the refining room. Glory to God. Okay, Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. So let me share something. You think that the will, when you start promoting the will of man, you're going to find yourself getting tough love of God?
Amen.
In Revelation 3 and verse 15, and it states, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's rough. And because you say I'm rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich in white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may what?
See.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Not being on fire for God will result in God's tough love or chastening. Oh, he knows when you're cold. He knows when you're lukewarm. He knows when you've backslid. He knows when you're beginning to go towards the world. He knows. He's going to jump right in and bring you chastening and tough love, conviction, counsel, and correction. And it's not to demote you, and if he has to demote you, he will. And it's not to promote you. It's to rescue us. Does everybody get it? What's he doing? He's trying to get us to the promised land to receive the promises he has. Grumbling, complaining, all of those things, well, man, tough love will come. It's like everything just crumbles around you and nothing seems to be going right. And now you're just doing things because you have to. You know what's happened? You lost relationship. And you've lost your first love. God chastens us and allows circumstances to happen so that a change can come to us and so he can get us to his promised land where his promises are for me and you. That's a position. Has everybody got it? Go to Luke 8. Hallelujah. You know, I remember when I was released. I had a mandatory 4-year sentence I was supposed to do. And I went to court and God intervened. I had a divine delay. Hallelujah. And the divine delay allowed me to walk out of that room with probation because I had a life sentence. And when I went in that room, if you have a felony and you get caught with a gun, you do a minimum 4-year mandatory sentence in Florida. Well, I'd gotten caught with guns and dope and stuff. And I went before this judge, and she just looked at me, and she read a letter my ex-wife had sent, who is now my wife, because we were divorced then. And she chose not to look at my life sentence and gave me probation. And I walked out of that room. I thought, praise God! And I thought afterwards, probation? Lord, why did you put me on probation? I'm going to keep you in check. It's tough love, isn't it?
Amen.
Has everybody got it?
Amen.
It's tough love. So you got to go to probation. So you haven't been released from certain things. Tough love. God's checking this out, isn't he? He's making sure. That's all. He's making sure. He already knows. He's making sure you know. Oh, hallelujah. So things, you know, I was content. How many times did God move on your behalf and you're like, yes, praise God, and a few minutes later, well, I mean, you did that, why didn't you do it all? Tough love. We had a woman one time who came in the service, and she had a cane, and she was limping, and come to find out, she was paralyzed in the whole side. And she come up to the front. I mean, she wanted prayer, man. She was like, I want freedom. I mean, she had a hard time talking. And I wasn't sure what was what. She wasn't a slim woman. She was a big woman. But she was up in age, you could tell. And I looked at her and said, so I couldn't understand what she was saying, but I knew she was having a problem. So I just began praying for her. And she began to start falling back a little bit. And my wife said, she's got a cleft foot. Her foot was curled inward. And I didn't understand what was what. So the Lord said, cast the serpent out of her leg. And I thought, okay. I commanded that spirit to come out of her leg and her foot went boop. She threw her cane and ran around the church. She came back. Because something else, one of her fingers, she wanted it all, man. She wanted it all. But you know, I wasn't led to continue to pray for everything. And I didn't understand why. And I knew that if I prayed for it, it wasn't going to happen. Do you understand that?
Amen.
So I shared with her, come back. Because I knew that if she came back, God was going to complete what he started. But it was just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a little bit. The woman couldn't walk. Now she ran. She threw her cane out and everything, you know. I mean, she was hitting her arms in the air and all kinds. She was running around the church. And she said, then I think, get up and run around again. And the whole church was going bonkers, you know. You know, it was just a real blessing. But he didn't heal her all the way. There was one of her hands or something was still a little bit messed up. So I told her, come back. You know, she never came back. Never came back. Man, it hurt my heart. I thought, man, I knew the Lord wanted to heal the rest of her. But it was tough love. Do you understand that?
Amen.
But you know, he showed himself, didn't he?
Amen.
Oh, that was powerful when that happened. Yeah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Luke 8, verse 11. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Oh, God. I love it. I love being with my family. This is my family. Hallelujah. Jesus said, my family are those who do the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
My brothers and sisters and my mother. In Luke 8 and verse 11, now the parable is this, that the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. How many times is the devil taking it out of your heart? How many times are you sat in the teaching, and next thing you know, you leave and it's gone? You know, it's our responsibility to make sure that seed stays there. By watering it, utilizing it. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, rejoice the word with joy, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Who believe for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. Man, I obviously love, yeah, man, I got that. That's great. All right, yes. Okay. 24 hours later, boom. The root is a representation of relationship. They don't have that relationship yet. It's not rooted. That's why Jesus is known as the root. Does everybody understand that? The root. Who is the root of? Root of Jesse. Amen. But we know that he was the true root of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. And bring no fruit to maturity. In other words, these are those who are always learning, 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 and never come to the truth. They can never get to the place of maturity. They stay in that child, and this is the wrong child. It's the kid, not the child. A kid is a child of a goat. A goat is a representation of rebellious. Is there... There's a sheep and a lamb. The lamb is a child of the sheep, right? And it lays down its life. Man, you can take a lamb and lay it down. It don't budge. Even put its head, you don't have to tie it or nothing. You put its head on a cutting block and it'll stay there. It's submissive. But a kid is a representation of a goat that's rebellious. And that's what he's talking about here. And bring no fruit to maturity. An individual that never reaches that mature area. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, in other words, a humble heart, keep it and bear fruit with what? Patience, which means endurance. You know what they're enduring? God's tough love. Oh, hallelujah. No root, foundation, or relationship. One way, my way, or I'm going to fall away. Choked by the cares, riches, and pleasures of this life, of this world, and they never reach maturity. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Praise be to God. 1 Corinthians 13. Tough love. Oh, to God be the glory.
Amen.
And verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Oh, hallelujah. Someone who can walk in love is a sign of maturing. Someone who can receive God's tough love is a sign of maturing. Someone who can't receive correction, counsel, or direction is a sign of immaturity. Amen? Does God love them? Of course He does. What's He trying to get us to? See, the more you and I mature, the more God's promises begin to manifest.
Amen.
Because we're earning His trust, because His promises are going to come. Because He knows that we're not going to mess them up. His promises are supposed to bring glory to His name, not promote me and you. Oh, hallelujah. It's time to mature, get rid of the childish things, and go and grow. Now, afflictions bring opportunities to grow and mature. Tough love produces growth. Does everybody understand that? God's tough love produces growth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They'll heap up for themselves teachers that will corroborate with their belief. Amen? They'll corroborate with their belief. You know, there's many people who... I've counseled with many people, and some people don't believe about, you know, they believe once saved, always saved, and so forth, and I'm not going to get into all of that stuff. And they're going out fornicating, and I've shared with the man, don't you get it? How can you willfully fornicate and do these things and expect to, and if you die, expect to go home without repentance? You know what they do? They try and find a church that's going to agree with them. They try to find an organization or a program that's going to believe with their, agree with their belief. The problem is they're not getting free. They're getting soulish ministry. Has everybody got it? And you and I don't want to fall into that. We've got to be willing to be rebuked, chastened, and tough loved. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or things that please them. But you be watchful in all things. What does it say? Endure afflictions, or God's tough love. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry, or your will, or God's will for us. Praise be to God. Okay, let's go a little further. John 3. John 3. John chapter 3.
Amen.
Hallelujah. John chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. John 3:16, the famous scripture. The problem is most people never go all the way with this scripture. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal or everlasting life." Then they talk about salvation and so forth. Yeah. "But God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe," and the word believe means what?
Follow.
"Is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Now, get this, because this is important. When you're struggling with truth, it's because there's an association of evil there. When you're struggling with God's tough love of counsel, correction, and direction, it's because there's an association of evil there. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. What do they usually do? They run from the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Believe me, the devil knows when he's about to get exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Does anybody understand that? It says that God so loved the world. Let me tell you something. Love always gives. It doesn't take. Love gives. Only lust takes. Lust is a taker. Lust loves to take, hide, and run. You know, people love challenging the consequences of God's chastisement. And how did they challenge it? By rebellion, by hiding, and by running. Now listen, didn't Adam and Eve run and hide? I mean, they did the same thing, didn't they? So it's a part of our fallen nature, isn't it? To run and hide and putting everything under the rug. So you finally have to throw the rug out, right? I mean, you keep tripping over the same old thing, that cycle that we keep going into. Remember, love gives, and love, lust takes, hides, and runs. And let our deeds be exposed. That's what we want. We want to be exposed by the Holy Spirit. Not to bring shame and humility outwardly, but that we're exposed to Him so that we can repent and He can have His way. God's tough love. Let me share something with you. If you're not willing to allow Him to expose you, He'll expose you another way. You'll either allow Him to expose you with you and Him, or He'll expose you before everyone. Amen? Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 and verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now you notice He said that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And then He brings it. This is powerful because the Word of God is not just a written word. The Word of God is the Lord. He's not talking just about the written word. He's talking about the Lord Himself, because the Word became flesh. Does everybody understand that? See, He says, and as a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, and there is no creature hidden from His sight. Because the Word of God is a person, not just a written book. It's a person. And He sees everything and knows everything. It's like some people lay their Bible down. I mean, they put the Bible in the drawer and they go do stuff. Like, like people are, well, the Word might see me. You know? You know, yeah, hey, some people get convicted just by the Bible being out there. Amen. You know? Amen. You know what I'm saying? So what they do is they hide the Bible. They put it in the drawer. I'm putting it away. That's it. I don't want to see it. So it might see me. But the Word is the presence of God. The Word is God, right? So, you know, the devil likes to play with us. You go into the hotel and you hide the Gideon's Bible, you know? Praise God. And you do your dirty work, you know? Oh, man, get this Bible out of here. No. See, the Word of God is a person. Right? So, what do you think is going to bring God's tough love? Not obeying His Word. Amen? You know, the Word discerns, convicts, corrects, chastens, and prevents future problems. Go to Hebrews 10. I remember one time I got pulled over by a police officer. And I was wrong. You know, I was in a hurry and I was cruising and not paying attention. And next thing, and he came up to me and said, you know what the speed limit is? And it's just when the time they had changed over here on this one road. They would change the speeding sign every once in a while. So I said, well, I think it's this, unless they've changed it, because they didn't know what the zone was, whatever. So he took my license, he went back, and the Holy Spirit said to me, put your Bible on your dashboard. I said, okay. So I put my Bible on my dashboard. When he came back, he saw my Bible. He said, man, I didn't see your Bible on the dashboard. I didn't say anything. He said, I'm a believer too. This, that, whatever. We started talking and this and that, whatever. And so he gave me a ticket for no seatbelt. I said, praise God. So that time, the written word rescued me. Don't get religious at me. Oh, you use the Word of God for your advantage. No. Oh, get behind me. I can hear it. That's why. I can hear it. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. So listen, don't try to, I don't want to put this as a stumbling block. Just keep it. Believe me, one time I went to go help a person that the Word of God was on their dashboard, come to find out that they were practicing witch. So, hallelujah. And verse 26. Is everybody there? For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, when you sin willfully, there is no more covering. There's no protection. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Let me tell you something. When you sin, God sees it. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you know, if we're in that place where we're just doing things in front of man, but when we're away from man, we're at work, we're at other things, and we're doing things that you know are offending to God, you don't have a relationship. You don't. You're full of religion and garbage. You know what I'm saying? Hello. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And how much worse punishment do you suppose will be? Will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Amen? It's a fearful thing. There's no covering, but harsh chastisement from God. Sometimes it's real tough love. Hello? Real tough love. You know, there's many of us in here who have broken covenant with God. And we were tormented. I mean, it was a terrible place to be. And the devil had access to us. And let me tell you, he was trying to kill us during that period of time. He was trying to kill us. And you know what? You knew that you were going to die if something didn't happen soon. You knew it. And you finally came to your senses. Oh! And God rescued us.
Amen.
Go to Galatians 5. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I think it's Galatians 5. That's Galatians 6, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. In verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also what? Oh, Daddy uses this for tough love too. For he who sows to his flesh will reap the tough love of God. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, sowing and reaping. Some of us are still reaping some of the things that we've done, right? I mean, there are things, and it's not just what we've done, it's what we just did today. Hello? But God uses those as an opportunity to bring circumstances and trials in our life, because these things are to allow an opportunity for change in our life. If we don't accept those as change in our life, and that's all we're doing is looking at these things as God's punishment to us, then we're not going to have change. And then we're going to expect this punishment, and it's going to breach the love of God between us, and we're always going to think that God is punishing us. You know how many people are caught up in condemnation because they believe God is constantly punishing them? When He's not. I mean, tribulation and God's judgment and wrath that's going to come to the earth, it's not because God is going to punish man. It's because He's trying to get their attention and hope that some will repent and come to receive His love. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. Hallelujah. In verse 5 it says, now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Endurance. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the traditions which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with the labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither will he eat. For we fear that there are some who among you in a who are a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are what? Busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread, and quit stealing everybody else's food. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person a bonehead. That means carnally minded. And do not keep company with him, that he may be what? Ashamed. Yet don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That's not easy to do. Just said don't keep company with him. Amen? In other words, you acknowledge him as still your brother, but don't promote what he does or she does. Amen? Praise God. Because if you do, what happens? God's tough love is going to come on you because you're considered eating the delicacies of the wicked with them. Hello? You know, so many people just turn their head. Man, I know he's doing wrong, but, or she's doing wrong. I don't want to see him. Well, how stupid can we be and still breathe? God allowed you to see it so that something could happen. Hello? It's recorded already. It can't be erased. You don't pull out no Holy Ghost eraser. It's been recorded. First Corinthians chapter 11. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, what is the Lord's body? It's the body of Christ. That's why he says if you have some problem, unforgiveness with an individual, don't take communion until we resolve this. It's discerning the body of Christ. Does everybody discerning the Lord's body? What's the Lord's body? The body of Christ is the Lord's body. See, he's saying, look it. If you have a problem in the body of Christ, if you're not submissive, if you're not forgiving, if you're still holding grudges towards a brother or a sister, if there's still a problem in the body of Christ, if you're still manipulating and using people in the body of Christ, and you haven't come to repentance, that's discerning and unworthy use of the Lord's body. When you take communion, you can expect something. Chastisement. It says, look at, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Because the world is going to be condemned, isn't it? So it's important that we discern the body of Christ and one another. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? These are things that open the door to God's tough love or chastisement. Does everybody understand that? I'm just sharing a few things before we... One of the things that cause chastisement also is broken vows. If you've made a vow before God and you do not fulfill it, go to Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy 23. Deuteronomy. Verse 21. Please read it with me. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and it will be sin to you. Is that powerful or what? You know, many of us make promises before God. Verse 21 in chapter 23. You know, man, how many times you said, "Oh God, I'll never do this again. I promise," and you did it. It's sin. That's why every time when you tell someone you're going to do something, you're going to meet someone, you know, your words are accounted. They don't fall to the ground. Has everybody got it? That's why every night it's good to say, Lord, every vow I made that I didn't fulfill, I repent. I repent, I'm sorry. You know what? You're still going to read. Now, the quicker you repent, the less you reap. Hallelujah. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You know, these are little things that get stuffed under the rug. That's where the little leaven leavens a whole lump. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. So he calls someone who cannot commit to a vow or a covenant or a contract a fool. Pay what you have owed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Ooh. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the works of your hands? Hello? I think that's all we need to know about that. Go to Psalm 81. You know, many people make pledges and don't fulfill them. You know why people don't fulfill the pledges? Because they don't have a relationship. They may have a partial relationship, but they don't have that relationship to walk upright with God. All of this that we're talking about and the purpose that God chastens us and brings us tough love is so that we can get to that relationship with Him and get to the promised land and receive all of His promises. See, everything has to do with relationship. If we're a grumbler and a complainer, where's the relationship? If we're a manipulator or a thief and doing things differently in front of people compared to not in front of people, where's our relationship? It's not too good, is it? See, that becomes religion instead of relationship. God's tough love is for our advantage, not disadvantage. Does everybody understand that? Those circumstances are opportunities for us to make a change in our life. It says, count all your trials and tribulations, count it all what? Joy. Because it's an opportunity to make a change in our life. Every one of us. Every person in the body of Christ. Jesus said, when you're corrected, even David said, let them rebuke me. Let them slap me across my head. You know? Jesus said, if somebody's going to slap your cheek, let them slap the other side too. You know, so many times we run from correction. We run from shame. Shame will result in humiliation. Humiliation will result in humility. And humbleness. Do you understand that? Sometimes God will expose us to get us humble. Amen? It says a haughty spirit comes just before a fall. That fall is a result of being prideful. Right? Now, could God rescue that person from a fall? Of course He could. Was He going to know tough love? Tough love. Hallelujah. What did I say to them? Psalm 81? Psalm 81 and verse 8. Read it together with me, please. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Now, Egypt represents bondage, demonic activity. But my people will not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me and that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to Him, but their fate would endure forever. In other words, He would expose them. Those who have in a form of godliness but denying the power. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock, and I would have satisfied you. Those are God's promises. Does anybody understand it? With the finest of wheat and honey. Those are God's promises. Those represent abundance. Abundance. God has given us tough love to bring us, to chasten us, to bring us to the promised land so that God's promises can be fulfilled. Go to Exodus 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? So we're going to start taking God's chastisement and turn it around. Some of us are too prideful to handle that.
Amen.
So you'll have to eat more dirt. Eat a little bit more dirt. Praise God. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3:16. Would you read it with me? Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Bonanites, and the land flowing with milk and honey. Hello? And he's going to bring us to a land flowing with milk and honey. Praise God. Now, I want you to understand something. He says, and I will bring you up out of the afflictions of Egypt to the land where all of these enemies are at. Hello? He didn't say he's just going to pick you up, fly you over, and you're just going to skip everything. No. You're going to go in the waiting room, the pruning room, and the refining room. Hello. And he's going to use the Hittites, Bonites, Prideites, Fleshites, and every kind of ite there is to work on your behalf. Well, I'm not receiving that. Well, you better. Because it's already happening. Now, he's going to bring us to the land of milk and honey. Abundance. Praise God. Then they will heed your voice, it says, and you shall come, and you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met us, and now please, he's talking to the king of Egypt, now please let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now it sure seems right to do that, doesn't it? You know what God did? He hardened the man's heart. He knew it wasn't going to happen. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all of my wonders, which I will do in its midst, and after that, he will let you go. Do you understand? To get to the promised land, you must go into the land where all these circumstances are at. First of all, he's going to be glorified because he's going to stretch his hand out. While these trials and tribulations are happening to you, he's molding you in his image and likeness. He's manifesting the mind of Christ. And he's giving us an opportunity that all of these Hittites and all these demonic activities and all these trials and tribulations that are coming in our arena and our circumstances to be used for an opportunity to change us. Because there are certain promises we cannot get until we change. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Even Saul, right, when he was anointed to be king, what did he have to do? The Lord said, go up and hang out with the prophets. He said, look it, I've anointed you king to handle the inheritance of the Lord. But before it's released to you, which meant promises, you've got to go be turned into another man. Then I'll release it to you. Do you understand that? God's promises are there available for me and you. But until there's certain changes in our life, you can never get them. Look at what happened to the Jews. They were in the wilderness, right? 40 years, only two dudes made it to the promised land. Out of millions! The rest of them died because they're grumbling and complaining. And God did what? Wonders, didn't he? He did wonders. Go to Hebrews 6. Oh, hallelujah. So next time you feel a height or a hit or what, hitite and a bonite and a fleshite, next time you feel a fleshite going on, take that circumstance and use it as an opportunity to change you so that you can get to the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. You mean my trials and tribulations are not demonic? Some of them are, yes. I mean, God uses the enemy to chasten us, doesn't he? He's going to use darkness to chasten the world, isn't he? Hello? And it's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't chasten us too, does he? In other words, if you're willing to receive the chastening of the Lord, hello? No problem. But when you resist the chastening of the Lord, Holy Ghost move out of the way. And the Hittites hit. The demonites hit. Hello? Remember, God said that he's going to send his angels to pour out the wrath of God. The angels carry an order what the demonic activity is supposed to do. He uses the demons and the powers of darkness to chasten us in certain areas. What did I say to you, Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 6, yes. Glory to God. It's a good night to die.
Amen.
I know some of you are thinking, man, he ain't talking to me. That's right, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm not talking to anyone in this room. He's talking to everyone. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. In verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hello?
Hello.
2 Corinthians 4, and we'll close here. You know, there's this VeggieTale movie. It's powerful, and they got everybody singing, and they're going, and we're going to the promised land. As I was getting this message today, I was like, I could see this VeggieTale flick, and we're going to the promised land. If I had a thing, if we had enough time, I was going to put it up here. You know, just hallelujah. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you read verse 16 through 18 with me? Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Through what? Renewed by... Yes, the Holy Spirit is renewing us. But God's tough love is what's giving us the opportunity to be renewed. Do you understand that? See, it's co-labor. The word grace has three areas. The word grace represents God's favor. It represents holding God's, holding back judgment, and also represents co-labor. See, so God's grace is a representation of co-labor. That's why the word Emmanuel means God with us, means we are the co-labor. Takes two to tangle, right? Amen. So, you know, God isn't going to give you something you don't want. Hello? Everything you get from God is something you already wanted or you need. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? Where are we? For our light affliction, hallelujah, God's tough love, that circumstance, it seems so light that we call painful, and God, why have you forsaken me, and how come you do it for them and not for me, and if you love me, you would do this. Childish things. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, God's moment could be a year. Is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory than what we can understand. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your counsel, correction, direction, for your tough love. Thank you that you love us. And thank you, Lord, of the revelation that even in our chastisement and our trials and tribulations, your love for us is just toughening us so that we can endure and trust in you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for everything you've done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do. We thank you and we look forward to our next trial and tribulation so that we will make it an opportunity for change in our own life. Amen. For your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen, amen and hallelujah.